and God's handiwork and splendor in creation is displayed by the unique country of Japan. From the snowy region of Hokkaido in the north to the tropic island of Okinawa in the south, God's design is evident in every part of this beautiful country. Until 1867, Japan was ruled by a shogun and his samurai warriors who answered only to the emperor himself. The emperor figurehead, considered to be a living god by the people, was worshipped by all. In 1867, the shogun absolved his position, and the emperor at the time, Emperor Meiji, began trying to modernize Japan, opening trade routes and wearing Western clothing. Because of Japan's ancient traditions and culture, its people have outwardly adapted and changed, but many are inwardly still living in the past of ancestor worship and deep-rooted traditions. Today, Japan is a nation of over 127 million people, living in an area slightly smaller than the state of California. Most of these people live on the island of Honshu, which is 80% mountainous, making the cities along the coast some of the most densely populated areas in the world. Because of the population and the lack of room for growing food, Japan imports 75% of its food, and rice paddies are planted wherever there is room. Sushi, raw fish, rice, and noodles are the everyday food, along with delicacies such as octopus, eel, and squid. But Japan is not without its Western restaurants and fine cuisine. Public transportation is a daily way of life for most Japanese. Finding a parking spot for your bike is just the beginning. Trains during regular hours are always crowded, but during the Tokyo rush hour, pushers are sometimes needed to squeeze everyone on the train. Just outside Shinjuku Station in Tokyo is the busiest intersection in the world for foot traffic. Every 3 minutes, throngs of people rush through the streets too busy with their lives to realize their need for a savior. Although Japan is one of the most technologically advanced countries in the world, its people are still holding many of the traditions and rituals of the past. Traditional festivals are held every year in many cities. On New Year's Eve, many people visit Buddhist temples to hear the temple bells rung 108 times at midnight. The reason they are rung 108 times is because of the Buddhist belief that human beings are plagued by 108 earthly desires or passions. With each ring, one desire is dispelled.
Hi, we're Paul and Sarah Johnson. God has called us to the country of Japan, and we are excited to be His ambassadors to this needy country. Our sending church is Heritage Baptist Church in Woodbridge, Virginia, and we are partnering with Baptist International Missions Incorporated, based in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Hi, I'm Pastor Mike Edwards, pastor of Heritage Baptist Church in Woodbridge, Virginia. It is our great privilege to be the sending church for Paul and Sarah Johnson. We're convinced of their call to the land of Japan, and we're excited in what God is going to do with them when they get there. We're fully supportive of Paul and Sarah, and we encourage you to be prayerful for them as they go to Japan. If God would lead and you're able, we ask you to consider supporting them financially, so we can see this young couple get to the field as soon as possible.
I was saved at the age of 4 while living in Okinawa, Japan. Later, my family moved to Northern Virginia, where we began attending Heritage Baptist Church. It was here that God began speaking to my heart about full-time Christian service, and as a senior in high school, I surrendered my life to preach. While attending Crown College in Powell, Tennessee, I met Sarah while we were both serving in the deaf ministry.
I grew up in a pastor's family in Southington, Connecticut. I was 8 years old when I realized my need for salvation and accepted Christ as my personal Savior. During a mission conference, I surrendered my life to whatever God wanted me to do, willing to go to the mission field. After graduation from high school, I went off to Bible college where I met Paul.
After graduation from college, we were married and moved to Loudoun County, Virginia to take part in the founding of Faithway Baptist Church in Leesburg, Virginia. While there, we were able to be involved in all aspects of the ministry through preaching, teaching, song leading, special music, visitation, and teen activities. God began to work in our hearts about the country of Japan, and in the spring of 2010, we surrendered to go to the foreign mission field. One of the most difficult things that we will face is the hold of idolatry that has been in Japan since its existence. During the American occupation of Japan after World War II, General Douglas MacArthur sent out a plea for 1,000 missionaries to be sent from America to Japan. Many answered the call to a country that was now open for sharing the gospel, but it has not been easy for the Japanese to change thousands of years of traditions and idolatry in just a few short decades. In Kyoto, the religious center of Japan, there are over 1,900 different shrines and temples for people to worship in. According to the latest figures, there are over 8 million gods that are worshipped in Shintoism, a religion that originated in Japan. It's a religion of hero, nature, and ancestor worship, and is practiced by most Japanese. 70% of Japanese are both Shinto and Buddhist, making them a very difficult people to reach with the gospel. In Buddhism, dead ancestors are considered to be gods, and when a Japanese person accepts Christ, he is turning his back on his entire family, past and present. When this man, Sugoro Ogawa, was saved as a teenager, his family disowned him and forced him out of the house. He had to live in a park for several months until a missionary took him in. The Lord blessed his faithfulness, and he now pastors the largest Baptist church in Japan. This is just one example of some of the difficulties Japanese converts face coming out of Buddhism and Shintoism. Although most Japanese are adherents to Shintoism, many only visit the shrines on special occasions and holidays. Before entering the shrine, worshippers wash their hands and drink the water, seeking to purify and cleanse themselves from sin. Inside the temple, they can buy prayers, which they tie onto special holy trees, or write their own prayers on blocks of wood and hang them where the priests can pray for them. Worshippers can then enter the main worship area, where they ring bells and clap their hands to wake up the gods, throw money into a coffer, and pray their prayers. As this prayer illustrates, so many people are searching for peace, and yet they cannot find it in their religion and empty prayers. In a nation that is wholly given over to idolatry, it is more important than ever to preach the gospel to every creature. All across Japan, there are cities of thousands of people with no gospel witness at all. Who will take the light of the gospel to this spiritually dark nation? Will you please pray for us as we seek to praise God's name in the land of the rising sun?
How can we reach a world we never touch? How can we show them Christ if we never show them love? Just to say we care will never be enough. How can we reach a world we never touch? How can we reach a world we never touch?
And I hope that answered a few of your questions about who my wife and I and family are and where we're going. But more specifically, I'm sure you noticed from the video, things are a little bit different over in Japan than they are over here. And we're used to America. We're used to the things that we eat, things that we do around here. And probably one of the most difficult things to get used to over there is going to be all the people that are there. If you remember from the presentation, 127 million people living there, and they live in about the size of California, which has 37 million people, which is still a lot, but you add another 90 million people into California and you have Japan. And so there are people everywhere. And we were able to take a trip over there this past June and spend 3 weeks over there. And it was a great trip. We had a wonderful time. But it was just amazing to see how many people lived in these cities. Tokyo is one of the largest cities in the world. I think it has 14 million people living just in the city. And there are just people everywhere. Everywhere you look, there are people. And it's so easy to get distracted just thinking about all the crowds and just thinking about everyone that is there. But it's important to realize that every person that we see, all those crowds, all those people, every single one of them is a soul that possibly has never heard the gospel, a soul that is headed one of two places when they die, either heaven or hell, and it's our responsibility to go there and tell them the good news of the gospel. And so it's just a wonderful opportunity because there are so many people that have never even heard. And if you remember that intersection in the video, thousands of people cross that intersection every single 3 minutes. About 1,000 people on average cross that intersection. And in Japan, about one half of 1%, so about 4 out of every 1,000 people would say that they're a Christian. And this would be any sort of Christian, whether it's Roman Catholic or any sort of Protestant or Mormon, whatever. Only 4 out of every 1,000 would say that they're a Christian. And so even though it's a very advanced country, they're very modern, the need for the gospel to be preached is very, very great. But yes, there are crowds everywhere, and the trains, I didn't really believe that. I've heard stories about the trains and rush hour, and I really didn't think that it was going to be that bad. So in June when we went there, we were staying in Tokyo or outside of Tokyo, and just for the fun of it, I took a train during rush hour into Tokyo just to see how bad it was, and it was as bad as they say. We were packed in there like sardines and could not move, and it was an experience to say the least. And one of the missionaries we were with told us a story of when he was riding a train. He got onto the train and he had a briefcase, and he put it in the overhead bin above one of the seats. And while he was putting his briefcase up there, everyone got onto the train and they squeezed in so much that he couldn't get his arms down. And so he's stuck with his arms above his head like this. And he started riding the train and he felt his nose starting to itch. He had to sneeze. And so he didn't want to sneeze over everybody. And so he's trying to reach, wiggle his arms down into his pockets to get his handkerchief out. And he finally gets his handkerchief, blows his nose, and then he looks at his handkerchief, and it wasn't his handkerchief. He had just stolen someone else's. And so you're in a crowded train when you steal someone else's handkerchief without even knowing it. Probably one of the biggest things that we're going to have to get used to is all the people that are there. There's just so many, and so many that need to hear the gospel. And it's just a huge task, but we are just extremely excited about getting there. And that's just the physical aspect of it. Once we get there, we're going to spend 2 years in language school. Obviously, they don't speak English over there. They speak Japanese, and it's a very difficult language to learn. And if you've heard of Rosetta Stone, a computer software that teaches languages, we bought that about a year ago and trying to learn as much as we can before we get there, but it is slow going, and it's a difficult language, and I am just not the best at learning languages. In fact, when I was in high school, I was able to work at a Christian camp out in Arizona for 3 years, and every summer, one week out of the whole year, they would bring in deaf kids from all over the West, and they would have a whole week just geared towards deaf kids, and they would have games and preaching and all interpreted into sign language, and it was a great opportunity for me. While I was there, the Lord really started burdening my heart about the deaf and reaching the deaf in the USA. And so during the school year, I would just pick up books or any way that I could learn, trying to learn sign language and just trying to learn as much as I could. And my last year that I was there, I was in the cabin with some deaf kids for the week. And I was trying to get to know them and trying to develop a relationship with them. And so I was trying to communicate as much as I could, and it wasn't very much. But my job at the camp there was I was the cowboy, and my job was to feed the horses and pigs and chickens and everything else that they had there. And so every morning and afternoon, I would have to go feed these animals. And one morning, I was walking across the basketball court, and I saw one of the deaf kids that was in my cabin sitting on the bleachers there. So I thought, hey, this is my opportunity to go and to get to know him a little bit more. So I went up to him and I was signing and trying to ask him if he wanted to go help me feed the horses. And he kind of gave me a weird look, and he followed me anyways. But later I found out that I had asked him if he wanted to come help me eat the horses. And so, yeah, languages just really aren't my strong suit, I guess. But it's going to be difficult. Japanese is a little bit more difficult than sign language to learn. So just please pray for us. We've already Like I said, we already have started. There's a Japanese lady at my home church in Woodbridge, Virginia, that is she's taught Japanese at several universities. And so whenever we're in the area, we meet with her, and she teaches us as much as possible. And so that's just a great opportunity for us. But we'll spend 2 full years just dedicated to language school when we first get over to Japan. We'll be living in a city, in the city of Kobe. Kobe. It's southwest of Tokyo, about 2 hours. And there's 3 cities, Kobe, Osaka, and there's another city that I just, Kyoto. There's 3 cities that are basically just, they run together. There's probably 16 million people that live in those 3 cities in that area. And that's where we're going to be starting out. And for 2 years while we're going to language school, we'll be working with a Japanese pastor. And he has just started a church recently, within the last couple of years, a young Japanese guy. And we're going to be joining with him and helping him out wherever possible. And when we first get over there, it's going to be difficult to do anything other than pass out tracts or do whatever we can, but we'll do whatever we can in order to help the pastor out. But once we finally feel that we have a grasp on the language, we're going to be moving, Lord willing, to a place in the northern part of the island. Now, Japan is very diversified as far as their weather goes. If you go to the very far south of Japan, in Okinawa, it's very, very tropical. You have heat and very humid. And when my family and I lived over there, my dad was in the Marine Corps, so we lived there for 4 years. And I just remember Christmas. It was like 80 degrees, and we were out there rollerblading, and it was hot. And, you know, that's really not what your Christmases are supposed to be. But Okinawa is very hot. But where we're hoping to go in the northern part of Honshu, they get about 25 feet of snow a year, and so it's very, very cold. They get a lot of snow, and so it's very diversified, to say the least. And so, but the Lord has put a burden on our heart for the northern part of the island. There's 5 prefectures up there that have about 7 million people living in them. And for 7 million people, there's 3 independent Baptist churches. And one of them is a church at the Air Force Base at Misawa, working with the military there and doing a wonderful job. And the other two are actual churches to Japanese people. But at the moment, both of those churches don't have a pastor. And so there's such a great need. And the Lord has put a burden on our hearts for that area of the country. And just please pray that we'll be able to get over to the field as quickly as possible, start learning the language. And just so many other things that really do go into that. And not the least of those is dealing with the religion. And as you probably noticed, Buddhism and Shintoism, a little bit different than things that we face here on a day-to-day basis. And you know, talking with missionaries that are over there and people that have worked all their life with Japanese, and it's just a totally different mindset coming from that sort of religion. We were talking with a missionary that is over there, and a church back here in the U.S. wanted to help them out, and they sent them thousands of tracts that were, you've probably seen them here, they're God's Simple Plan of Salvation. And it's a great track. It's just a simple, easy way to walk someone through the Romans Road and show them their need of salvation. And so this missionary said when they got this track, God's Simple Plan of Salvation, they had to throw them all out. They couldn't use them. And obviously I was a little bit curious why. And they said if they were to give a Japanese person a track that said, you know, God's Simple Plan of Salvation, it would be a little bit confusing to them, because in their Shinto religion, they have 8 million different gods. And just to see something that says God's Simple Plan of Salvation, there's, well, you know, what God is offering me this gift of salvation? And many Japanese are willing to accept Christ as a God and put him on their butsudan or their idol shelf right alongside their other idols and their other gods. But to be able to take the step where you say that God is the one true God and I'm going to trust him for my salvation and him alone, and that's a very, very large step for a Japanese person to take. And so just dealing with the people, just dealing with the religion there, it's going to be a little bit different, but it's going to be one of those things where you take time and you have to develop a relationship and teach someone, you know, in the beginning God created the heavens and earth, and teach them from the very beginning about who God is and what God has done for us. And so that will be a challenge as well. And there's so many things that we we call challenges, but God is so good, and he's able to work in every single situation. And even already we have seen him work in mighty, miraculous ways. We've been on deputation since September of last year, so about 5 months, and we have about 40% of our support raised, and it's just a huge miracle, and it's just been amazing to see the Lord working. And just pray for us specifically. We're wanting to be in Japan by next May. So May of 2012 is our goal to be there, and so please pray for us that we'll be able to just get everything done with visas and getting a passport for Timmy and everything like that. And it's going to be exciting. We are just so thrilled that we're able to be able to go to Japan. And so just pray that we'll be able to get there by May of 2012 and to raise all of our support by the time we get there. Well, at this time, we have about 10 minutes left. Does anyone have any questions? Maybe I didn't cover something or something that you'd like to know about Japan. Now, obviously, I do not know all the answers. I haven't lived in Japan for very long, and I don't know a lot about the country. But if you have any questions, you can go ahead and ask them. Now, I get asked all the time, what kind of food are you going to eat over there? What kind of food do they eat? And as you saw, it's... if you like rice, that's pretty much all that they eat, or not all that they eat, but every meal you have some sort of rice. And it's hopefully you like rice when you're going over there, but sushi and sashimi and all those other good things, they're over there. And so if you like raw fish and different things, that's the place for you. And it was really interesting. We were over there this past June, I'm unique in that I really don't have a sense of smell, and so all food kind of tastes the same. And so, you know, I was eating the raw fish and squid and eel and everything, and it didn't really taste anything different, but it was a little bit chewier than, you know, fried chicken or something. So it's a little bit different, I have heard that when you're eating octopus, you can't let those little suction cups get stuck to the roof of your mouth, because then they'll be stuck there. I don't know if that's true or not, but... pray for us as we're going over there eating octopus and all those unique foods and everything like that. But does anyone have a question? Yes, sir.
Why do they have eels? Why do they eat them?
Because they eat everything that comes from the ocean. So because they're an island, they eat, you know, fish and seaweed and everything else that comes from the ocean. If it's edible, or even if we don't think it is, they probably have a way of eating it. So yes, ma'am. They do. It's called nori, and it's what they wrap their sushi in, and so it's kind of interesting. But yes, sir. Well, unfortunately, it's very expensive. Because it's an island, they import everything. They're the third largest user or consumer of oil, and they don't have any oil anywhere, so they import all this oil. So gas is quite expensive. It's about $7 or $8 a gallon, and it's, you know, it is expensive here as well. But over there, it's a little bit more expensive. They import 75% of their food, so just buying regular groceries and things are expensive as well. And because the population is so much, the land is becoming, you know, more and more scarce, and it's hard to find. And so when you buy property over in Japan, they sell it by the square foot instead of, you know, by the acre or something. And so it's very, very different. I know a missionary friend over there in Tokyo. Actually, if you remember that intersection where all those people were walking across, they have their ministry is right there on the corner of that intersection, so they get to see a lot of people. They get a great opportunity to pass out tracts there, but they rent a couple of rooms in a high rise for their building, for their church building, and they rent these two rooms for 5 hours a week, and they pay about $8,000 a month just to rent these two rooms, and that's for their church building. So, yeah, you know, that is just in Tokyo. That's, you know, the most expensive place to live over there, and so but I just wanted to give that as an example to say it is quite expensive, just the cost of living. We'll pay about $1,500 a month for an apartment when we first get over there, and so that's about what we're looking at as far as living over there and different things. Yes, sir. As far as the government is concerned, they are wide open to everything. They'll allow any religion to come in, and so they have Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormon, Baptist. Everyone is welcome, and you can set up a building, you can have a sign out in front of your church building. So as far as the government is concerned, it's very, very wide open. Probably the more difficult part would be dealing with the Buddhist monks and the people that have been there for generations and have really had a control on the city and the area that we're going to. So that's probably more of a difficulty than the government. Yes, ma'am. A few people do, but because the way that their towns are is so packed, they don't really have any parking, and so people really can't buy cars because they can't park them anywhere. The roads are about this wide, and it's very difficult to drive. They drive on the wrong side of the road, and some people do own automobiles, but if you live in the cities, they have a very, very good train system. They have the Shinkansen, which is a bullet train that runs from the south all the way to the north, very fast. It goes about 120 miles an hour. I forget what it is, but that's expensive. But they have a very good train system that you can get pretty much anywhere on the island. So everyone pretty much rides a bike, and so everyone has a bike there. They just ride to the train station. And one of the unique things about Japan is their crime rate, and it's very low. You ride your bicycle to the train, and you just leave your bicycle there. You don't lock it up or anything. You know, I guess no one steals your bike or anything like that. But it's a very, very interesting system as far as they're very, very polite, very, 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 I guess, outwardly good. And so that would probably be a very difficult thing to overcome for many people over there as well. Yes, sir. I have no idea. I've never caught eels before. But yes, sir.
Is there a lot of Americans over there? Other than like local banks, like the Army banks and the Naval banks and the Marine banks, is there a lot more American population?
Well, obviously around the Marine base or the military bases, they do have a lot of, teachers will come over and contractors and things. As far as just regular, contractors over there, I'm not sure as far as what the ratio would be for Americans living over there. Yes, sir.
What is their currency?
Their currency is yen, and it's about, right now you get about 83 yen to the dollar, which is actually not too good. About 30 years ago, it was 360-something yen to the dollar, and so we know some missionary friends that were over there, and when they first got over there, they could get a lot of yen to their dollar, but just for being there for 30 years, they've lost a majority of their support because the yen rate has fallen. I guess the dollar has fallen so much. But yes, ma'am. It is, and so the longer you're over there, it seems like the more money that you have to have to live there because of the yen rate. Yes, sir.
How long does it take to get out to the countryside?
I'm not sure how much countryside they actually have, but there is some in the northern part of the island. They have, it's more rural. It's more of the farms, the rice fields, and the fishing villages and things like that. And so I'm not sure by train, if you take the bullet train, it wouldn't take very long to get there from Tokyo, probably 4 or 5 hours. But I'm not sure how long it would take by car or something like that. All right. Any other last second questions? And if not, if you have, yes, ma'am. Well, when they go through, if they go through their high schools, they're all required to take English. It's the business language, and so a lot of the younger people and even some of the younger adults, they do know a little bit of English. They can probably understand you a lot more than we can understand them. But when we were there this past June, we walked into a city and we were just walking around and we got lost and we. my wife had to use the restroom, and so we ran into this store, and we were asking them if we could use their toilet, and they just looked at us, and they couldn't understand what we were saying, and so that was the first word that we had to learn when we came back, just so if we go over there, we can learn how to find the restroom, and eventually this lady had to call her probably 10-year-old daughter down, and she came down, and she could actually understand a little bit of what, and once they found out what we were looking for, they just started laughing, and they I'm pretty sure they're making fun of us, but I'm not sure, so... But, well, if you have any other questions, please stop by our table on the way out. You can ask us anything. We love talking about Japan, about anything over there. We have prayer cards on the back. Please pick one up, put it on your fridge, put it in your Bible. Just please, every time you see it, though, remember to pray for us, and remember to pray for the Japanese people, that the Lord will use us to do great and mighty things over there in Japan. Thank you very much, Pastor.